This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Mark Solomon might still be working as a neuropsychologist in Raleigh if he hadn't gone to a certain dinner party in 1999. It was at that party that his host produced a bottle of Graham's Vintage Port from 1955. Mark took a sip, and his life changed forever. He says he knew at that moment he was going to pursue wine, though he didn't realize just how far it would take him. Started learning more about wine and collecting it. And he realized pretty quickly that if he wanted to get high-end bottles at auction, he'd have to travel to places like New York and Chicago. Triangle just, well, just couldn't compete. Mark decided to change all that. He found a partner and started directing wine auctions at Leland Little Auction and Estate Sales in Hillsboro. 2.5 years later, Leland holds the largest quarterly fine wine auctions in the Southeast. And in just a minute, we'll find out if they're the only fine wine auctions in the Southeast when we meet Mark Solomon. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, Frank. It's great to be here. Thank you.
What was it about that vintage port that turned you around?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, to me, of course, after the age of 21, to me, wine was wine. I think that's most people's experience. It's something that you bought at your 7-Eleven, and you unscrewed the bottle cap, and it was, you know, it's
stuck in a straw.
Exactly. And yeah. So it was something that it just you had your choice between red, white, and if you didn't want that, you drank beer. But I never really thought about it very much until at that point. And I was over at a neighbor's house, and who was a wine collector, and after dinner was over, he poured a 1955 bottle of vintage port, Graham's Vintage Port. And at that point, I had an immediate epiphany. It was unlike anything I'd ever tried in my entire life. And at the time, I didn't have the words to describe what I was experiencing. But it was everything was there. It was the texture, the sweetness, the complexity, everything I wanted. And it was just an amazing experience. And my life, you're right, it did. It changed forever from that point.
I'm just curious, did your neighbor, your host, kind of make a big deal of this? Did he talk much about it? Or did you just sip this thing and the harps glissando?
Well, he was a wine collector, and I think, you know, as a wine collector myself, one thing I like to do is I love to share fine wine or nice wines with people who have never tried them before, because you don't know. Sometimes they'll try it, and they will not really say anything about it, and to them, it's just, you know, it's good, it's nice, but sometimes you'll have a person who has that moment that you experienced, like, what is this? Yeah. I've never seen this before, and that's what that gentleman was doing to me.
So in that moment, then, next day, you call in, say, I'm not coming back anymore? Or?
No, it didn't quite work that way, because, you know, we have to work for a living, and what I did for a living for many years is I was a practicing neuropsychologist, in Raleigh, and while this was happening, I was, you know, collecting wine, and most collectors can relate to this, is that you start off small, and pretty soon it's kind of, you know, hard to turn it off. That it's sort of like hoarding on a leash. You start collecting 12 bottles and a case, and then all of a sudden you need a place to store these wines, so you start buying refrigerators and larger refrigerators, and you can't stop. And so, I was collecting, and I was going, and I was trying to go to auctions to buy the wine, and things started to take off, and as our auction at Leland Little started growing bigger. I sort of had to make a decision at one point whether I was going to be a neuropsychologist or whether I was going to be a wine director for the auction house. And in this case, I decided to follow my passion. I thought that, you know, you only live once in this world, and I just, you know, I really loved it. I love learning about it, and that's why I decided to do it.
Talk about bringing the auction to Leland Little. How did that happen? Because at first you had to travel to go to these auctions, right?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we do have one a nice auction in the Triangle. It's called the Triangle Wine Experience, and it is charity auction. It's a great auction, and there are charity auctions around around the country. But for regularly scheduled wine auctions at wine auction houses, one has to go to a Chicago or New York or a place like that to really participate. And so I was doing that, and it was not it's not so easy to get there and buy wine and come home. And it's just and I was always thinking to myself, why don't we have a wine auction house in the Southeast? And what happened was is that in 2009, Leland Little was conducting, you might remember, the William Wise auction in Raleigh. And William Wise was a gentleman who had some problems with his investors, and in order to repay them back, he had to auction his items. And part of what he was auctioning was wine. And so I went down to the Raleigh Hilton thinking I was going to get a good deal on some fine wine because I thought nobody would know about it except for me. But of course I was wrong, and I sat through the auction. I didn't win anything, but it was just so obvious to me that we needed something like that here. And so later I approached Leland, and I asked him, why don't you, as one of the largest three auction houses in the Southeast, why don't you auction wine? And he said that he often wanted to auction wine, but he knew a lot about the auction business, but he didn't know much about wine. And I said, well, I know a little about wine, but not too much about the auction business. And so then at that point, we decided to join forces, and that's how it started.
So what do you do then as a wine director? How do you choose? How do you know what's good vintage, what's a worthwhile And well, I'll ask you that question. Then I want to know kind of what the volumes are and what the scope is of the wine auctions. But first of all, how do you tell what should be auctioned?
Right. So as collectors of anything, like art, or you sort of know the pieces that bring in the collectors want and they prize. If it's art, if it's modern art, it's Picasso's or something like that. And for wine, it's the same thing. What people are going for and what people are collecting. And so what happens is that a wine is consigned to us, usually a collector who has, anywhere from five bottles to thousands of bottles, says that they would like to sell their wine for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, and we would take it on and sell it.
So that's the first cut. And let me ask you, when you collect this wine, do you ever drink it or do you just keep it in the basement?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've been to collectors' houses that have thousands of bottles, and it's more wine than you could ever collect or ever drink in a lifetime. And so there's really two aspects of that. There's, the love of wine, the love of just passionate about what wine is for a person. And then there's the other half of it is the collecting personality, someone who just needs to have as much of it around as possible, and loves it, and loves to not only drink about it, but be there with it and
love it, feed it, and watch it go to school. So that raises an interesting question. If you're never going to pop it open, then how do we know it's not kind? I can slap a label on anything purple and sell it to you for a lot of money.
Well, you have a great point. I mean, so one thing that's really interesting thing that's happened over the last decade or so is that fine wine prices have really gone up. And so when the prices of anything get higher, things get counterfeited. And so who knew that now people are counterfeiting wine? And I guess
– look, the idea occurred to me in just the 5 minutes I talked to you. So
right. And it's – if a bottle – I mean, there are bottles out there that easily go for $5,000 to $10,000 for a bottle. You can understand why there are people out there who would have no problem trying to counterfeit it. And and there's two main ways that someone would counterfeit a bottle. One would be to take the same wine from an off vintage, meaning a year that's not as good, and turn it into the better vintage, whether by putting a new label or tinkering with the date or something like that. Right. That's probably the one common way, but that's easy to find because when you look at the cork, usually the cork has the maker and the date on the cork. So that's the another way is a harder way to discern. Is that, if sometimes people have empty bottles and they will fill them with empty bottles of good wine.
Right.
And they will fill it back up and then, recork it. But still then I feel like I'm pretty good at being able to tell those bottles if they come across, for a variety of reasons. One is because you have to get a new tinfoil thing that goes on the on top of the wine called a capsule.
I'm starting to save those right now. I tell you what, I'm going to collect them.
Right, and then so you know you can get fairly good at seeing if there's any problematic issues that come your way.
So that's one thing you do. But if somebody's selling thousands of bottles, how much of that do you spot check, or how do you?
Well, right. So, yeah, someone's selling thousands of bottles. Yes, I look at every single bottle that comes my way. I have to look at it and condition it and make sure that there's nothing wrong with the bottle, meaning that it's not leaking, and it's everything looks right with it. And for large collections, what I do is I insist on trying bottles from the collection. Indiscriminately, this is actually the best part of the job. I'm going to indiscriminately try some bottles in your cellar. I promise I'm not going to take your most expensive prized bottles, but I'm going to open them and try them and make sure everything is okay. Because in addition to making sure that there's the bottle is legit, wine can go bad, and wine can go bad if you don't store it correctly, if you store it in heat, or a variety of strange variations in temperature, or a lot of things can destroy wine. And so I want to make sure that what the wine we are putting up for auction is the good stuff.
But that assumes that there's some wine you're going to drink, and some, I mean, I'm guessing there's very expensive wine out there. It's a couple hundred years old or something nobody ever expects to drink, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I think you're right. I mean, I think if I, I guess it depends on your bank account, but if I had a bottle worth $5,000, I would probably have not much of an intention of drinking it, just because I wouldn't be able to have my cake and eat it too, kind of thing. Thankfully, at the wine at the wine auction, there's bottles that go for that, but there's also many bottles that go. You can get cases of wine that go for between $200 or $300, which is actually quite reasonable.
And is that how does it go at an auction? Do you separate those bottles that may have a very high value, and then sell the rest by the case or by the thousand? I mean, how does it go?
There's different ways to do it, but I guess the way I've settled on right now is I auction wine off by region, meaning that I'll sort of auction the Burgundy wines at one time and the Bordeaux's at one time.
But do you put them all up at once, or do you sell them a bottle at a time?
Oh, I see what you're saying. The wine is divided in different lots, and each lot could have one bottle, or a lot could have three cases, and I divide them in lots. Usually, I can make interesting lots where I think people might want to try a variety of wine, or I might divide up lots into just one wine that's the same in the same year.
How many people generally show up at the auctions in this area?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good following. I'm not sure how many numbers we have, but the thing that we really like is that we have people who have heard about us, and now they know about us, that they come every time, and they ask about what's coming next, and it's really exciting to be able to kind of bring this to the Triangle and be able to talk to people about what's coming in.
So do wine collectors, because it does sound to me like there's a kind of commodity part, in a quality to some extent. So are most collectors wine lovers? Do they love to drink wine too, or not so much?
Oh, yeah. I think most collectors are wine lovers. I mean, that I have yet to run across a collector who is not as passionate about wine as pretty much as what like I am. Mm. I think I think people do collect it as a commodity. I think what you're going to an earlier point, and in the sense that they might not have any reason or any they don't want to drink it, and they might want to have set that aside because they want to resell it later to recoup some expenses or something. But I everyone I've run into, if you're a collector, you love it.
So, and you, I know you're surprised. You said you were surprised by the number of people who have wine cellars in this area.
Right. And so, the Triangle is just a wonderful place to live, in that it really is that we have, for a region this size, we have some of the best restaurants. We have some of the best you know, there's such a huge wine drinking community. We have the Angus Barn, which many people don't know, has one of the largest restaurant wine collections in the country. And so just a lot going on here.
Well, that's great for this region. And are there a lot of other auctions in the Southeast? We said, you know, yours is the largest. But
right. So there's some charity auctions, like, and I mentioned one that, that one happens annually, and there's a lot of other charity auctions mostly. But as far as an auction house auctioning wine on a routine basis, we're the
your largest. What's the most money you've seen a bottle of wine go for?
Well, this last auction we had, which was Saturday, this last Saturday, we had one bottle of wine called Romani Conti, which is a Burgundy, go for, I believe, it hammered at $14,000 for one bottle. And that's quite a lot. And of course, you know, the natural question is what makes a wine bottle worth that much? It's a difficult question, but there is for Romani Conti, there's a particular area where the winery sits on, and so where the wine comes from only comes from about 4.5 acres, and that's it. And they have maybe 450 cases made a year, and that's all they got. And so there's a lot of scarcity for the wine.
You know what? I sit on a quarter acre. I'm going to start growing
exactly
and see how much I can get for my bottles. Yeah. Mark, thanks so much for being with
us. Thank you so much.
Mark Solomon, Fine Wine Director at Leland Little Auction and Estate Sales in Hillsboro. For more information, go to llauctions.com. That's our program for today, but I want to remind you we're going to be live in Greensboro Friday, and you can be in the audience. Just send us an email to rsvp@wnc.org, and you can join us. Our guest, Liz Seymour, at the Interactive Resource Center. She'll tell us about her journey from anarchy to helping the people who are homeless. Also, Big Bang Boom, kind of power rock band for kids, all live in Greensboro, all happening Friday, June 22nd, this coming Friday. Send us an email, rsvp@wnc.org, if you want to join us. This is North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.